Bless you. Thank you, Brother Jim. Good to see all of you tonight. Appreciate you coming and being a part of our service tonight. And we have some more of our good friends that we have been friends for many years with us tonight. And we're just so thankful for you coming and sharing with us and being with us in our service tonight. And all of you, we just appreciate you being a part of this service today. I trust that you've had a good day because every day is the Lord's day, isn't it? Every day is the day that God has given to us that we might enjoy and we might be able to live and move and have our being. So he is so good to us. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 24 through 27 tonight. Okay, Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall be find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So may the Lord add his blessings tonight to the reading of his holy word. Let's bow together for just another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day, and Lord, for your blessings, and Lord, you're so good to us, and we love you, and we praise you, we adore you, we just thank you for this privilege that you have allowed us to come together tonight in this place that's been consecrated and dedicated to God to worship, and Lord, we just thank you for the house of God, and these thy people, and I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us and lead us and direct us and guide us. And Lord, all you do, we'll just thank and praise you. Let's use us tonight, Lord. Lead us by thy Spirit and help us to always walk in the way of God and do the things and say the things that would be pleasing to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this scripture, prior to this scripture, Jesus had just explained to his disciples how he must die, and then on the third day he would be resurrected. So tonight I want to think on the subject why we can't lay our cross down. We see that Jesus, having shown his disciples that he must suffer, he's telling his disciples here that they must suffer also. And so here is the law of discipleship laid down. What it is for us to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful to be a disciple of the Lord. It's wonderful to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest privilege and greatest honor that man could have, is having a Savior and following in his footsteps and striving to do the things that is pleasing to him. And certainly I believe that as the Lord's disciples, I believe that exactly what the true born-again child of God tries to do. He is one who comes after Christ as the sheep follows after the shepherd, because the sheep need a shepherd, and certainly the Lord is our shepherd. You know, David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and he said that I shall not want, and I have no need of want. As long as he's our shepherd, we have no need of want, because he is going to supply our needs. Whatever it might be, he's going to supply it. Sometimes we may wonder, but we don't have to wonder at all. God is always right. He's always on time. He's never late. You know, we have had a drought with so far as the rain is concerned, but the Lord is still supplying. And you know, when I think about the drought, you know, the worst drought that we could that people could be in today, and I believe people is in this drought, is a spiritual drought. And you know, people need the Lord, and people don't have to be in a spiritual drought, because the Lord can give us what we need. And so we see that we must follow him whithersoever thou goest. You know, if any man, Jesus said, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so the cross here is including all sufferings, all afflictions, everything that we as a Christian may go through in life. We have many problems that arise. We have many problems that face us in life. But when these problems arise, we know that the Lord is with us to help us. And isn't it wonderful that he sees us through these difficult times? All of us have had difficult times and had struggles and these kinds of things. The Lord has always seen us through. You know, I'm persuaded to believe that the Lord has never, ever let me down. Aren't you? The Lord has never, ever let you down. Yes, I have let the Lord down. You have let the Lord down, probably. But the Lord has never let me down. And I'm persuaded to believe that he will never, ever let me down, because he hasn't now, and he won't. So all I have to do is just trust him. I have faith in God, and he will take care of everything. So every disciple of Christ has his cross. All of us has our crosses. All of us have situations to bear. A disciple is a follower learner. So we follow the Lord as his disciples did. He taught his disciples, and they learned from him. And so we follow him. He leads us. He directs us. And so just as long as he is leading us and we are following him, why, everything is going to be all right. Sometimes we wonder, the Lord is going to see to it, because, you know, he loves his children. God loves his children, and we are his children. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been born into the family of God because of the new birth. And so we are part of the family of God, and that's the best family that we could be a part of, being a part of the family of God. And all of us are family. We are a family of the God, and we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, as Abraham said. And so we are pilgrims down here looking for that city that the Lord has prepared or going to prepare. So when a person they were condemned to be crucified. A part of their sentence was that they carried their cross, to where they would be crucified, the place of execution. The Christ carried his cross. He became fatigued. He became exhausted. You know, sometimes we may become fatigued. We may become exhausted. But isn't it wonderful that we can just reach out to the Lord and we can feel the strength that the Lord gives us? When we feel like that we have no strength and that we are weak, isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus makes us strong and gives us exactly what is needed for the hour and for the situation and for the time that we find ourselves in. So the cross was an instrument of death, and to carry the cross was certainly burdensome. But Jesus carried his cross, did he not? And so we must bear our cross. We have crosses to bear. You know, everything is not like a bed of roses, is it? Sometimes there's thorns. Sometimes there's thistles that come along. But the Lord is going to be there. So whatever we have to bear, why, the Lord has already been through it. He's blessed it. Isn't it a great encouragement, certainly, to know that as we bear our cross, why, the Lord is going to be with us and help us if we are faithful. So we just can't lay our cross down. If we carry our cross, two things is going to happen. We're going to live better. Because we carry our cross, we're going to live closer to Jesus Christ because we are bearing our cross. In Philippians 1 and 21 it says, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ," and he said, "to die is gain." So for me to live is Christ. Yes, it's Christ's will, and so we'll live better as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can't help but live better because we are carrying our cross. And then number two, we'll labor better. We see in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." You know, that's the way we Christians ought to be. We ought to be steadfast. We ought to be unmovable. We should not let anything hinder us. We should never let anything hold us back. But we ought to keep on serving, regardless of where our neighbor does or not, regardless what everybody else does. We're going to serve the Lord, and we must be steadfast and unmovable. We cannot go with every wind of doctrine, but we must be grounded in the rock of ages. We must be grounded in Jesus Christ our Lord. Brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm glad tonight that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord knows all the things that we do for Him. We don't do things for show. We do things for the Lord. You know, the Bible says even give a cup of water in His name. Why, He recognizes it. The good things that we do for other people, nobody else might not know it, but the Lord does. And so He loves His children. He loves people to be steadfast and working and laboring and doing what we can for Him just as long as we can. And so we see that we are His, and we are builders with God, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse 9. So we're just building one block at a time. We're trying to build one soul at the time. We're trying to lead one person at the time into the kingdom of Almighty God. So let's labor, let's work, let's be faithful, let's do what we can for the Lord, because we know the night cometh when no man can work. So let's do what we can for God while we can. Three things that will make people really want to lay their cross down. First of all, people. Don't keep your eyes on people. People will discourage you. You know, if you're ever discouraged, you think about it. If you're ever discouraged, most of the time, it's somebody else. Now, do you ever get decide you want to just discourage yourself? I mean, that's kind of hard to do, is it? But other folks can discourage you, right? They can. If we're not careful, people will discourage us. They will. Because you know what? The devil wants people to discourage us. He wants us to be discouraged. And when we're discouraged, we are defeated. So we don't need to be a defeated child of God. Listen, a child of God is not defeated because the Lord has made a way for us. Listen, He's made a way of escape for us. Listen, we can get out of this life safe, can we not? Because of the old rugged cross. The old rugged cross made the difference. It's the old rugged cross. It'll always be the wonderful, precious cross. So people, don't keep your eyes on people. People will let you down. Have you ever had a person to let you down? Certainly you have. I have and you have. But you know what? I don't serve people. I don't worship people. As a pastor, I serve people. And I thank God for the privilege of serving people and being a part of people's lives. All these years that I've been a pastor, I just thank God that He's allowed me to be a pastor try to lead people. You know, people will say, that's my church. But Lord, it's the Lord's church. It's no individual's church. It's the Lord's church. And so, but the devil will use people to discourage you and trip you up. But listen, don't keep your eyes on people. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because after all, it is Him that's going to judge. There is not a man or a woman alive or dead, either one, that's going to be our judge. The Lord is going to be the final judge. You know, people like to judge other people. I'm sure I've been judged. Well, that's all right. You know, they'll let them judge me all they want to, because they are really not my judge. They're really not your judge. The Lord is our judge. Number two, problems will cause people to feel like laying their cross down. You know, some people just can't deal with problems too good. Some can deal better with problems than other people. So if you ever become pastor, you have to have a little tough skin once in a while. Amen. I know Brother Jim agreed with me that, but the rest of you don't know. And you have to be tough skinned sometime because you know, people will try to wear on you, but and cause you problems. But listen, people will decide, well, it's not worth it. With all of these problems, all of these difficulties that I'm going through in life, you know, there's nothing that's more important than serving the Lord. There is nothing more important than serving Him. There is no person, no problem, no nothing that's more important than Him, because He's going to help us through all of these situations. And so every one of them, He's going to help us. So if, you know, the old devil can cause us problems, He's going to do it. That's His job. And He knows that He is doomed, and He knows His time is short. So He's working on people. He's working on people. But you know, I don't want Him to work on me. You know who I want to work on me. I want the Lord to work on me, don't you? As the song goes, He's still working on me. Isn't that wonderful? And He is still working on us. You know how He'll work on us? As we allow Him to work on us. We have to allow Him. We have to present our bodies a holy sacrifice unto the Lord. We have to give ourselves to Him. Because if we do, why, He's going to work on us. And He's going to help us. I tell you, I look back over life and I see where the Lord's hand has been there. I see where the Lord has worked out problems, and the Lord, you know, I can't do it. The preachers can't do it, but the Lord can. The church members can't do it. The deacons can't do it. But isn't it wonderful that we know one who can, and His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, He helps us. He's helped all of us. You know, we have journeyed this long now, and He's carried us through, and He's going to carry us through right on to the end. So problems will cause people to lay their treasures down. And then the things of the world will cause people to lay their cross down. You know, people get carried away, and so many people today are so worldly minded. If you don't think they're worldly minded, when you go to the gas station the next time, you look, see how much you're paying for a gallon of gas. These folks are worldly minded. These oil executives are worldly minded. You know what I told Jane? I shouldn't be telling this stuff. I need to get on here. But I told Jane the other day, these oil company executives, you know, they make just billions of dollars every quarter. Exxon, you know, they had the biggest profit of any corporation last quarter, I guess. I told her, these executives, they're living it up. They're drinking their beer and their liquor and sitting back smoking their cigars, and I have their place, one at the beach and one in the mountains and one here and one there and one everywhere. And they're not concerned about the American people. They're not concerned about us. It is greed. It's greed. It's nothing but greed. If it wasn't, people would not be robbing people. Well, I was going to say blind. They're not robbing us blind. We just have open eyes, aren't we? You know, treasures will cause people to lay their cross down. I want to look at five things right quick. I ought to be through right now, hadn't I? Five things real quick reason we can't pay, lay our cross down. The price that Jesus paid for us, He paid a debt for us. What an awful debt the Lord Jesus paid on that cross for us. He paid the debt because when we were on the cross, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. And so He's paid the sin debt. Thank God, because of Jesus dying on the cross, and because God sending His only begotten Son into the world and to be a sin bearer and a substitute for our sins, why Paul said that for we've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So listen, we've been bought with a price, the price of the cross, the price that the Lord Jesus hung on that cross, and they nailed nails through His hands and through His feet. They beat Him unmercifully, and He said, "I thirst," and they gave Him hyssop. There He was, dying on the cross because of you and because of me, because He knew that's the only way that a person could get to heaven, because of sin had to be paid for. And isn't it wonderful that God gave His only begotten Son to pay that sin debt? And all we have to do is ask Jesus to come into our heart, to forgive us of our sins, to save our soul, and then our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then I tell you what, you're ready to live when your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! You're ready to live then. But you know, a person is not ready to live until they're ready to die. But then you're ready to live. And so Jesus bore the sin in His body. He left heaven's portals to die on that cross for us. Yes, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Then number two, we can't lay a cross down because of the precious love of Jesus. Oh, look at that love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people loved each other? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was more love in the world today? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there's more love in some of the churches today? You know, some churches don't even love each other. Some of them won't even speak to each other. There's some that come in church and some that sit on this side and some on that side. I'm not talking about Powhatan Church either. There are those, and they probably dare the other person to look over there at them. You know, isn't that a wonderful spiritual time when, I've heard of this, folks, that people go to church and don't even speak to each other. What these folks need to do is, first of all, say amen. They need to get saved. They need to get saved. Don't need that kind of spirit in the church. I need a good, loving, warm spirit in the church of God. And so people will say, "Well, I don't love that person." Well, if they don't love you, they're not right with God. Or if there's people you don't love, you're not right with God. We have to love folks, see. we see that... love. There was this man by the name of George Matheson. He was a missionary long ago, and the doctors told him he was engaged to this woman. And the doctors told him that in 6 months, you're going to be blind. So he asked this lady that he was going to marry, he said, "Are you willing to lead a blind man around?" She loved him, but she didn't love God enough And so she said, no, I cannot lead a blind man around. But listen, love will make a person do more than they think they can do. Love. So apparently this individual did not love this missionary like she should, but she did the right thing, far as I'm concerned. If she felt like that she could not bear him, that was the best thing to do, not marry him. You know the thing today is, let's try it. We don't like it. We'll split. We'll get somebody else. And that's the thing today, isn't it? But we see but the precious blood, the love of the Lord Jesus. And then we can't lay a cross down because people are watching. People are watching. You know, people are watching to see if you're going to make a mistake. People are watching to see if I'm going to make a mistake. You know, the old devil wants us to make mistakes. He wants to throw stones at us. The devil wants to throw stones at us. And so some people would love to see us lay our cross down because people are watching. You know, our neighbors are watching us. They are watching to see if we're faithful to the house of God. You know, we need to be faithful. The Bible says to be faithful. Hebrews tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but we are to assemble ourselves together and exhort one another. And how in the world can somebody exhort me if they're sitting at home looking at television or going somewhere to visit Aunt Sue or Uncle John or somebody like this or going to Walmart or somewhere like this when God's people ought to be in the house of God when it's time to be in the house of God? I believe that, don't you? People ought to be in the house of God. And so then we can't lay a cross down because of the public shame it will bring. Can you imagine the public shame it would bring? You know, I mentioned last night, using myself for an example, but can you imagine the public shame it would bring upon my family if I laid my cross down? If I all of a sudden decided, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm disgusted with it. I've had it up to here. I don't want to preach anymore. I'm just going to give up. And I'm just not going to stand before another congregation and try to preach. Oh, what a shame it would bring upon my family. First of all, my wife and our three children, they would say, "My, I can't believe that's Daddy. I can't believe that he did this." Because we have a very, very close-knit family. When I mean close, that's what I mean, close. You know, my oldest son said, "Daddy, you know, you're my hero." I wonder, what in the world does he mean? I'm his hero. But whatever that means, I'm just thankful for it. But that's what he said, "Daddy, you're my hero." And I think he's told everybody, and everybody in his church he attends and everywhere else. But anyway, you know, it's wonderful to have a wonderful family, isn't it? It's wonderful to have a good family. And every time we see each other, we hug. Sometimes my oldest son kiss me on the, and I kiss him back. I mean, that's nothing unusual. And every time we talk to each other on the phone, we say, "I love you." We leave each other, we say, "I love you." You know, Love, love, love. That's what we need today, is it? That's what we need in the churches. That's what we need everywhere, is love, sweet love. Hallelujah. And you know how it comes? Through the Lord Jesus, isn't it? That's how we have it. So we can't lay our cross down because of the public shame, the shame on us. If we decide, well, I'm not going to follow the Lord anymore. It's just a waste of time. I'm not going to do it. The last thing is, we can't lay our cross down because of the personal victory that it gives. You know, the Bible talks about us having life and have it more abundantly. You know, the Lord wants us to have life, but He doesn't want us to just have life. He doesn't want us to just exist. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Lord wants us to exist. Because the Bible says that we are to have abundant life. And He gives us that abundant life. He gives us victory. There's a song goes, "Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." There's victory in the Lord. And I tell you, we have victory in the Lord. We can rejoice. We can praise God. We can shout. We can say amen. We can just rejoice in the Lord because the Lord wants to give us that abundant life. And if He wants to give it to me, I surely want to have it. Don't you? Woo, I surely want to have that abundant life. And so we can't lay a cross down because the victory that it brings to our life, the happiness and the rejoicing that the Lord gives to His people. Boy, I'm telling you, isn't that something? How the Lord blesses us and gives us. So there's victory in the Lord. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad that I can stand here and say that we have victory. We don't have to wait till we get on the other side. I believe the Lord wants us to enjoy that victorious life now, don't you? Yes, He does. He wants us to have victory and enjoy ourselves and come to church and be happy and sing and pray and fellowship and love each other. Why, that's what worship is all about. Just coming and fellowshipping, singing, praying, and fellowshipping with each other. The Lord gives us victory. We can't lay a cross down. Because of the victory that we have. Praise God. I'm glad I have that victory, aren't you? Man, I'm glad I have that victory. Praise the Lord. You know, that makes me wonder that song, "Victory in Jesus," isn't there? It makes me want to, maybe want to sing it. Maybe want to let y'all sing it. But I wouldn't dare sing it. But listen, we can't lay a cross down because of the victory. Listen, there's victory in this word, isn't it? There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Hallelujah. There's victory in the Lord because He died on the cross, shed His precious blood, that we might have that abundant life, that we might have victory. And I don't know about you, but I like victory, don't you? Curtis Hudson sung a song years ago, "I'm on the winning side." Praise God tonight. I'm on the winning side, aren't you? If we're on the Lord's side, we're on the winning side. So we're never going to lose because Jesus Christ has never lost a battle. And I don't believe a child of God is ever going to lose a battle. Because we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Do you know Him tonight? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Is He your Redeemer? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you haven't, you can be tonight. And if you just want to come up and just pray, you just want to come up and say, Lord, I just want more than life. I want that abundant life. I want that life that old-time religion. I just want that old-time religion that makes me love everybody. And I just want what You have for me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss anything that God has for me, do you? I don't want you to get anything that God intended for me to have. Amen? But I tell you what, God has an ample supply for all of us. He has an ample supply for all of us. And I'm glad He's the giver. And I want to be on the receiving end, don't you? He gives, He gives, He gives. So if you have any need tonight, whatever it might be, as Brother Jim comes and leads us in the closing song, will you come, okay?